This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and we have had a good week. All around good week. We like these kind of weeks. Woohoo! We did the big deploy last week where we cut away from some legacy code that we'd been running on for 3 decades, and so far everything is going just fine. So if it continues to go fine, which we have no reason to think at this point that it won't, because we basically do the same thing over and over and over in greater and lesser volumes each day, if it continues to go fine, then come next Wednesday we will probably completely disconnect and stop even sending data to the legacy code. So it's been, excuse me, a little clogged up. I'm not emotional. It's just that I just ate. Anyways, let me get a drink of water. You know, every day I've been watching it at night to see how it's doing. Once I get the first report in, and it's been good, and then get up first thing in the morning and check the charts, check the data controls dashboard, we call it, and that all seems to be good, so that's been good. Trying to take care of the last few little things now before it looks like I'll be swinging off to another project. Okay, now we're good. So that's coming up. We'll see how that transition happens, and, you know, everything will be fine, but it's been a good week. The weather has been gorgeous, gorgeous here. It's been a little cool sometimes. Actually, today, just a little on the warm side, but the sun's been shining, and it's turning into a gorgeous, gorgeous spring. Anyways, I'm working on another topic. I watched a NOVA program yesterday called Mind Over Matter, which was a repeat, and I'm reading some other books, and I think that's all going to gel together nicely, but it's not quite ready. And I've had some other topics in queue, but there's been some kind of interesting little things happening. I always kind of like to keep my ear to the ground and listen for examples of other people and other belief systems expressing this idea of the challenge that is in the war between the flesh and the spirit. Now, most people don't call it the flesh and the spirit. They have other names for it. But it's just interesting to me to listen and hear that come up and go, right! And I was listening to a program called Change Your Mind, Change Your Body on PBS during their latest fundraiser. And it was pretty interesting. I think the guy has some validity to what he's saying. He was saying that there's different brain types, and because of your brain type, you may have various difficulties in trying to lose weight. You need to identify what chemicals are not present in your brain, or where maybe you need a little help with. And so he had like 5 different types of brains and what you could do to help. I got very interested in the fact that he said, and the way we treat this is with exercise and with this, with this, with this. And then the second one, the way we treat this is with exercise and with this, and with this. I'm thinking, so basically, you need to eat right and exercise, and a lot of that will take care of itself. I have been, over the last week and a half or so, just once again watching my glycemic index a little more closely, and just sort of staying away from the processed stuff, and specifically staying away from the sweet processed stuff. And it's really amazing how the weight just starts melting away. I mean, I am 6'1", 6'2", and I'm 6'2", my height does not change. I'm 6'2", and my weight will fluctuate on a quote-unquote normal week between maybe 169 and 173. And I like to keep it to that. I, in fact, like to be a couple of pounds under that. I feel like that's a good weight for me. And I really haven't been doing anything else except just kind of staying away from the handful of chips here and there and just staying away from a little few sweet things every once in a while. And I stepped on the scale this morning, which was the day after my fast day, so that was my low point. It said 165.5. So that's without any effort. But beyond just that, things have been quieter, which is nice. You know, not really thinking that much about, oh, gotta go get a snack. Oh, go get some chips. Oh, I gotta do this. You know, things have been quieter, and I've been able to just concentrate on some other things. So that's cool. Anyways, one of the things that this medical doctor said in this Change Your Mind, Change Your Body is when he started getting into the first steps about how you get started with these processes, he said, the first thing you have to understand is those voices that are talking to you in your mind, they are lying to you. And I went, right. And he started giving examples. He said, you know, I've talked to people and people say, oh, I just can't lose weight. And I talk to them and I say, is that really true? You just can't lose weight? Well, no, I could. But I don't like eating anything that's healthy. Anything that's healthy, I don't like it. And he said, I stop him and say, is that really true? You don't like anything that's healthy for you? Well, no. And his basic approach was, all those voices in your head, they're lying to you. Stop listening to them. Now, that's a bit of an overstatement, because I believe there is a voice in there that is very worthwhile listening to. But certainly, all the negative, criticizing voices in your head, they are lying to you. And then I was watching a Dateline NBC special on Sunday that was talking about the fact that they're repeating the experiments that we've talked about in one of the podcasts of, you set up the machine that has a bunch of switches on it and you tell somebody that they have to be an instructor and there's a student in the other room, and when they answer their question incorrectly, they have to turn up the voltage and, you know, shock them with electricity, when in fact nobody's getting shocked, but the guy in the other room will holler out and scream and, you know, go through all that stuff. And how that of the 5 people they tried out, 3 of them went all the way to maximum voltage, which if it had been real would have killed the guy, and these 3 people knew that, but they put all their faith and confidence in the fact that, well, the person who told me to do this said I had to do this, so I'm just going to do it. You know, the abdication of free will. And we've talked about that before. But what was interesting was that the reporter, towards the end of it, he said, you know, one of the things that we can learn from this is we really do need to listen to that still, or he didn't call it a still small voice, but that quiet little voice inside of us. And I thought, right, right, listen to that voice. They were talking to the one gal that they finally just had to quit the experiment because she was getting so agitated because of the man screaming. And so they finally just stopped the experiment and said, look, he's okay. It's just an experiment. And she said afterwards, she said, I knew I should have stopped. I knew that I just should have stopped. She said, my gut was telling me to stop, and I just didn't do it. I need to listen to my gut more. Well, okay, that's just another way of saying I need to listen to the spirit more. So that's been kind of fun to listen to that. There was actually something else on the NBC Today show on Monday morning. They were talking to a little girl who had been out in the woods for 4 days, and somebody said something. I can't remember what it was. I tried to record it, but I didn't get to it quick enough. And so it's been interesting to just kind of see those things and kind of triangulate on those. And in addition to that, this week, I had a conversation with a close friend, and this friend was just telling me that how they just felt like a failure. And I've been thinking about that. And I managed, I think, to encourage this friend a bit and help them see that that certainly wasn't true. But that whole idea of hearing yourself say, I'm a failure, I just can't do anything right. I was just thinking this week, what a cancerous thought that is. What a horrific thing that is. For our flesh to get us to the place where we feel like, quote unquote, a failure. And I was remembering back to the little talk that I did at my alma mater. I went over, they were having a college days for new students, and they asked if I would come over as an alumni and just talk about my experience of being at CBC. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. And it was really interesting because I talked for about 40 minutes just about some of my experiences. And then I took questions, and I actually bribed them into asking questions because I took free copies of the book over of Amanda and the Skleberry Tree, which was in beta at that point. And so I took copies of that, and I didn't tell them I was going to give them a book if they ask a question. But after the first person asked the question, then I handed that person a book, and I said, see, I am willing to bribe you to ask questions. Then all of a sudden, everybody had a question to ask, so that worked out just fine. But I was stunned again at some of the questions, and one in particular, where a young man, who is a very talented young man, a handsome young man, raised his hand and asked me, do you ever feel like giving up? And afterwards, I was talking to a couple of young ladies there, and they both said that, yeah, they had dealt with that, of feeling like giving up and just feeling like they were never going to amount to any, you know, accomplish anything. And all that negativity, but a negativity not just that you're unhappy with your circumstances, but that it's so much that you just feel like quitting because you think I'm never going to be able to do anything right. And what a debilitating thought that is. And really how untrue it is, because it's simply impossible for a person to be a failure. I mean, that's impossible. First of all, we are wonderfully and fearfully made. The very fact that our bodies function is due to the incredible success of tremendous number of subsystems in our body. I mean, we are walking wonders. Just the fact that we can put together thoughts, that we can speak, that we have an awareness of ourselves, you know, that we can accomplish things in life. I mean, it's impossible for us to be a failure. And it's especially impossible for us to be a failure if we're still breathing. Because that statement, I feel like such a failure, or I'm a failure, implies that nothing is ever going to change. And there's no way that we can predict that. To say I'm a failure means that for the rest of your life, every breath you're going to take, you are going to be in a constant state of disrepair. And since you can't predict what is going to happen tomorrow, there is always the possibility that tomorrow you're going to wake up and decide you're going to accomplish something. So it's really sad to me when someone says, oh, I'm just a failure, and I just feel like such a failure. Well, that's not a statement of truth. All that is a parroting of the voices in your head, which are, as the doctor said, lying to you. They really are lying to you. Because everything can turn around with a simple decision on your part. No matter what you're facing, it is impossible for you to be classified as a failure. Now, let's qualify that a little bit. Because sometimes we say, I'm a failure, because we're in difficulty. We're in difficult situations, and we are failing a task. But most of the time, there's a reason that we're failing that task. It's because maybe we didn't do our homework, or maybe we let some things slide that we knew we should do, and we just didn't do them. See, my terminology for all that is no, you're not a failure. You have simply allowed your flesh to create an environment of failure around you. And as long as you want to sit in that environment of failure, you will continue to fail to accomplish the tasks that are before you. But it's impossible for even 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of failed tasks to translate to the fact that you in your life can be classified as a complete failure. Because who knows what the next 5 years will bring. And if you understand that when those words come out of your mouth, I feel like such a failure, that it is first of all not true because it's not possible to be true. And if you understand that maybe the reason that you're feeling that is that you have allowed your flesh to create an environment of failure around you, and that you have the capability to turn that into an environment of success, by simply making better decisions, by simply listening more to the voice of the Spirit within you, then you have the potential to stop failing at those tasks and start succeeding. And that's really what it takes. You just need to stop listening to those voices in your head and start making some good decisions. And you can recognize, if you think about it, just like the doctor who said, is that really true what you just said? You know, when you hear those statements coming out of your voice, if you just stop yourself and say, wait, is that really true? I don't think that's true. How can I be a failure? I might get this tomorrow. So if you start questioning those voices, testing them to see if your statements are true, and if you realize that statement might not be true, that's a good step you can take. And then I think another really good step to take is to recognize that the statement, I feel like such a failure, is being fed to you by an entity that is specifically feeding it to you to try to keep you failing at tasks that you could succeed at. And by repeating that, what you're doing is you are creating an environment of failure around you. Because if you have a goal, and then you don't accomplish that goal because you've created... I'm getting my mail. And you don't accomplish that goal because you have created an environment of failure around yourself. And so then out of that, your flesh can convince you to say, oh, I'm just a failure. I'm just a complete failure. Well, by saying that, it's certainly not going to get you to convince that maybe you should try again and try harder the next time. Because now the flesh has its little foot in the door and it can say there's no point in even trying because qualitatively, quantitatively, as an absolute state of being, you're a failure. I'm backing into my garage. And that's a lie too. So you really have a choice, and unfortunately, no one can make the choice for you. You really have a choice that when you end up not accomplishing a task, when you end up failing at a task, you can either decide that it was everyone else's fault, and so there's nothing you could do to do any different to help that, help you succeed at that task. Or you can decide, oh, I'm such a failure. That's just who I am. I'm a failure. And then pretty much guaranteed you're going to keep failing at the task, or you can take another step. But bear in mind that you're not failing at the task because you're a failure. You're failing at the task because the concept of being a failure is creating an environment of failure around you that you could just as easily, with the right decisions, create an environment of success. So I just encourage you today, if you hear that coming out of your mouth, if you hear that idea banging around in your head, I'm never going to be able to accomplish this. I'm just such a failure. I'm so embarrassed about the way that this has turned out, and my whole life is going to be like that. If you have any of those kind of absolute disaster thoughts, absolute state of being no hope thoughts, you need to recognize that they are not true. And you need to remind yourself they are not true. And the only reason that they exist are to keep you down and to try to slow you down from creating an environment of success for yourself, which you are well able to do. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.